Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. In terms of what makes us human, it's not the things that are the same, it is the things that are different that matter. Jonathan Marks. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Anne Gager, who holds a PhD in zoology from the University of Washington and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard. She is a senior fellow of the Center for Science and Culture and serves as a scientist at Biologic Institute, as well as director of science communications at the Center for Science and Culture. She comes back to the show today to share more about how chimpanzee and human genomes differ. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Gager.
Glad to be here.
Last time we talked about the difference between the human genome and the chimp genome. Today we'll be discussing the differences in how our DNA is used. Dr. Gager, can you explain to us a little bit about human-specific genes?
Sure. Before I do, let me give you a little bit of background. You know, in the 1970s, when people were first beginning to look at how our genomes compared, they didn't have sequencing technology, so they used some other techniques, DNA hybridization, it was called. And they discovered that our DNA was very similar to chimps, and people were surprised because we don't look all that similar, at least that was the view, and so they expected there to be more difference in our DNA. And at that time, Mary Claire King and Alan Wilson proposed that it might not be the sequence-specific DNA that mattered, but how it's put to use. So we'll talk about that. We have 20,000 or some genes. We actually have a certain number that are unique to us, not present in chimps. Estimates vary as to how many there are, because it's actually a moving target. Scientists keep changing what they consider to be unique and whether they consider it to be a real gene or not. So some estimate 300, some estimate over 600 different genes that are unique to humans. And many of these new genes have been linked to disease-causing processes. Their overexpression or underexpression can affect the progress of disease. And a lot of them tend to be expressed in the brain, which is interesting, or in the testis, which is also interesting. As many as 60 of these new genes didn't come from existing genes, but apparently came from repurposing of other DNA, which we'll talk about later. So there's one other thing I should say, and that is that to have even one novel functional gene is a remarkable thing from an evolutionary point of view. It used to be accepted that getting new genes was very hard, but now new genes are being found in every genome that's sequenced, genes that appear to be unique to that species. This was a surprise for evolutionary biologists, in fact, for all biologists. From a design point of view, though, the existence of new genes for each species actually makes sense.
So I've heard that one gene can code for multiple proteins. Can you tell us more about that?
Yep. Our DNA is a continuous stretch of nucleotides, and the RNA is copied from it, but then the RNA gets spliced into different patterns. It's like splicing out a stretch of old videotape. You loop out a part of it and rejoin it. So, for example, you could have a protein made up of five different stretches of coding sequence that was all on one original piece of RNA that got spliced differently. Say one protein would have exons. The bits that get spliced together are called exons. You could have one protein that has 1, 2, or 3, another 2, 3, and 4, or yet another 1, 4, and 5. So you see that that way, you can make use of your 20,000 genes and generate hundreds of thousands of possible different proteins.
And that's controlled by something called gene expression, right?
Well, gene expression is where the genes get, I think we talked about this the last time, what it means to express DNA. It's actually been demonstrated that there is an important role for alternative splicing in establishing differences between humans and chimps. So we don't splice our DNA the same way as chimps do, which is also an interesting fact.
So how does gene expression differ in humans and chimps?
Well, let's talk about how genes get expressed. Usually there's controlling factors that determine whether genes get turned on or off. And those controlling factors can cause genes to be turned on and off in particular places in particular times. And it's the pattern of those genes and where they're expressed and when they're expressed that affects how the cell becomes, and then it also affects how the organism grows. Certain genes are expressed only in certain tissues, and some genes are expressed everywhere. So in order for us to develop into humans and not chimps, it's likely that differences in gene expression are involved. In fact, there are substantial differences in expression of genes we share with chimps, just as King and Wilson, who I mentioned earlier, predicted in 1975. And here's an interesting fact. Those differences in expression are particularly true in the brain. So what regulates that gene expression? There are these proteins called transcription factors that bind to the DNA and either shut it off or turn it on. And roughly 1 to 3% of them are human specific. So they're going to be turning on different genes in humans than in chimps. So that contributes to our uniqueness. Not only do we splice our genes differently, we also have different gene regulation.
Well, thank you for joining us on the show today, Dr. Gager.
I'm glad to be here.
Next time, we'll take a look at non-coding DNA. This is Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.